You're on the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. And this is Canucks Central with Satyar Shah and Alex Auld. Centers, Derek Eads, scores! 1,000 points in the NHL. The only real choice for the diehard Canucks fan.
Well, we know that goalies nowadays need a lot of seasoning in the minors before they can break into the National Hockey League. To talk more about the NHL and even some Canucks topics, we have our good friend from Sportsnet, Doug McLean, on the line. Doug, how are you today, sir?
Good, guys.
Good stuff. Glad to get you on. And let's sort of start with Derek Dorsett. He's the guy that you drafted when you were the Columbus GM. We talked about him last week, but he did sort of have his final moment here in front of fans today when he met with the media and had some closure on his career because he is stepping away now. Do you think that there is content there now with sort of he's gone through this entire process and the fact that he is looking back and saying, I did play 515 games. I made a Stanley Cup run. I played for Canadian market. It's sort of easier to leave with your head up, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, he's had a wonderful career when you think about it. And, I mean, you know, when you're a seventh-round pick and, you know, you're the size he was and you thought, well, is he ever going to play in the NHL? I was sort of chuckling reading about him, you know, in his letter about, you know, he cut from midget Triple-A teams. And, you know, I mean, he paid a price to play the game. And, you know, is there closure? I doubt it. And he's a young guy that, you know, you would hope to have played another 4 or 5 years. But, you know, he sort of said it very well, you know, that, hey, I had a wonderful opportunity. I had a good career. I played 500 games. And, you know, he played in some great markets. And, you know, from an expansion market to an original six market to a Canadian market in Vancouver. So, you know, he was a nice guy. I didn't know him as, you know, I mean, I drafted him, but I actually spent a little bit of time with him when he was in the Stanley Cup run with the Rangers because we were following that series and then talked to his brothers and his dad and so on. Had met his mom when he was in Columbus, but really, you know, I mean, to say we were friends is not accurate, but I mean, I sort of have essentially, when you draft a kid, you sort of follow him all the way through his career, and whether it's Mark Methot or Dorsett or Adam McQuaid or Rick Nash or lots of the kids we drafted, Gilbert Brulé, I mean, you still follow where they are and how they're doing. So it's sad, disappointing. Loved watching him this year, the way he played with so much heart and desire and with that young group. So it's disappointing, but, you know, he's really handled it with a lot of class, and that's what he always has been, a classy kid.
What does it say about the hockey community that so many people reached out to him, even people that he was foes against on the ice and players that maybe he did not think even knew him or cared about him, that they all reached out and wished him the best?
Well, I think it says lots about how he played and, you know, the way he carried himself. I mean, nobody would play against Derek Dorsett and not have respect for him, whether you had to fight him or battle him for a puck in a corner or, you know, he'd be chasing you down. I mean, there was great respect. Anytime a guy is that size and plays the way he played and was thought of by his teammates. And, you know, you can tell when you see a guy what his teammates think of him when you coach against him or you watch him play. And he had a lot of respect in the league, and that tells you a lot about him.
Now, Bo Horvat left last night's game in the third period, and he's scheduling to have an MRI here coming up. Not quite sure exactly what the injury is. Obviously, they want to explore the extent of it. How important is Bo Horvat to these Canucks, and how terrible a loss would that be for them if he missed any sustained period of time?
Well, it'll be devastating. I mean, to me, he's their best player by a country mile. I mean, I just... You know, when I say that, that's with all due respect to the veterans there, but for a young guy, for what he's done and the way he carries himself and what he's meant for the team, I mean, I don't think it's close. I think he's that important to the team, and it would be a devastating loss. He plays every important role on the team. He's a young guy, but he's always already one of the most important leaders on the team. It would be devastating. So let's hope it's short term. you're always nervous when a guy's having an MRI. It's not usually good news.
So if you put yourself in the GM's chair, if it is any type of time that's significant, what do you look to do? Do you stand pat, or do you look to add something to fill that hole?
I think you know, if you're Jimmy, you got to stand pat. I don't think, you know, he's in the, whether we want to believe it or not, they're in a rebuild, and you know, you can't give up assets for the sake of, you know, getting into that eighth spot or biding some time. I think they should bide their time and try to get by without him as best they can from in-house, and not give up assets to for short-term gain. I think they've, you know, they've got some good young players in place there, and you know, I think Jimmy's got a good feel on how they want to rebuild, and I think they should stay the course. And I don't think going out and doing something short-term is going to be smart. I really don't.
Do you see at all, though, Doug, that the team looks at where they are in the standings? They're currently holding down a playoff spot. They're third in the Pacific Division, actually. Could you see a scenario where maybe the team looks at this and says, you know what, maybe we should be a bit more aggressive about moving forward and trying to win this season?
No, I don't think they should. I really don't. I know the fans want to see them get in, but doing the right thing for the long term is a lot smarter than holding on to that spot. And I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be tough to make it no matter what. I know they're playing well. I know they're grinding away. But, like, I see Anaheim getting in, guys. I see when they get Kessler and Getzlaff back, I see them being a team that's going to take a big step and probably knock somebody out of the box. And it helps you stay in the race till he gets back. That's fine, but for God's sake, don't give away an asset, a draft pick to stay in, to make the, you know, short-term gain. I just don't think it's smart.
No, I'm with you on that, Doug. I think staying the course is the best thing to do for a team that's sort of in transition like the Canucks are. Now, sort of shifting gears to other Canadian teams, it seemed like, you know, Montreal, things were going really bad. Now they've reeled off a bunch of wins. They did lose the other night, but their record is much better. Edmonton is still struggling. But if you're looking at Edmonton and Calgary, which team do you think is feeling more angst internally, the Flames or the Oilers right now?
If Calgary lose tonight to Toronto and Edmonton beat Philly at home, there's a 3-point difference in the two teams. I mean, that is hard to believe with all the grief that the Oilers have taken. And you know what? It's amazing. If Calgary would have won the other night at home against Edmonton, they would have had a 9-point swing with games in hand. All of a sudden, it could be 3 points tonight. Now, I still think there's more angst in Edmonton because they don't have Talbot, and it could be gone for 2-3 more weeks. That's devastating. And they had expectations to be at the top of the Western Conference, but so did Calgary. I mean, Calgary makes a Hamonic deal, they make the Smith deal, and people are sitting there saying, "Hey, this is a team that could contend in the West as well." So I think they're both feeling a ton of heat to be good. And that what it would make me just a touch nervous is Smith has dropped off. I mean, Smith has been their MVP by a country mile, and held them in a ton of games. And the last three games, he's been average at best. And tonight's going to be interesting. You know, you got a tough game in Toronto. How is Smith going to respond? Anderson's playing well for the Leafs. And, and then you got the Golden Knights situation in Edmonton. I think they're both feeling a ton of heat to both get in the race and stay in the race. I mean, Calgary's fifth in the wild card today. I mean, and yet we keep talking about them as being, you know, who do most Canadians talk about? The great season Calgary's having or the great season Vancouver's having? It's not close. Everybody's talking about Calgary.
And nobody would have thought that.
And they say Vancouver's a surprise.
Well, and the tough thing for me when I look at the Canucks are in a playoff spot right now, but you touched on Anaheim. When you look at the teams that are behind the Canucks, and you think if all it takes is one of those teams catching fire, whether it's the Ducks, the Blackhawks, and you think Calgary, there's some really good teams that everyone would have picked at the start of the year to be in the playoffs. That probably, in a lot of people's minds, hurts the Canucks' chances of actually making it, and probably is part of the reason that the market is cautiously optimistic here in Vancouver. They're excited about where the team's at, but they don't want to hitch their horse to this wagon too soon, so to speak.
I didn't have them in the playoffs, guys. They've shocked me. I said on this show at the start of the season, I thought with Trevor there, they would play with lots of energy and battle hard and be a good story. But trust me, I didn't have them in the playoffs. And I still don't have them probably in the playoffs, although they've been a lot better than I thought they'd be. So, and you're right. I mean, who would you put your money on? The Blackhawks getting in with Tavares and Kane, or I should say Taves and Kane and Crawford and Keith and company, or the Canucks. I mean, I'm sorry. I got the Blackhawks in ahead of them right now, and maybe I'm wrong in that. And I've also got Anaheim in, and, you know, whoever else. I mean, is Vegas going to hold on? I mean, they've won a very few games in regulation. Does that mean they're going to be able to get in? They play a lot of home games. Does that mean they're going to be able to get in? I don't know. It's going to be a dogfight. But I go back to what we talked about at the start. I wouldn't do anything crazy just for the sake of keeping on pace. I mean, Horvat, hopefully he's not very long and he gets back. But I just think they've done too many good things to throw, you know, to make a bad deal. And I'm not saying they will make one, but why give up assets when you're in pretty good shape right now?
Well, I mean, if you sort of look at where the league is in general, there's only two teams that are legitimately out of it. And even they right. can maybe come back. It's Arizona and Buffalo. And we've already seen a couple of trades go down. But where are teams right now sort of in terms of taking stock of where they are? I mean, are teams going to be looking at maybe even past Christmas to figure out what they truly are?
You know, it's interesting. When you're a GM, you go in every day and you're staring at your depth chart and you're saying, what can I do to improve the team? And you know what? It's great to look at it, and it's great to kill a couple hours a day looking at it. But then you start phoning around and then you find out, oh, if I want to replace this guy, this is what the price is. This is what they want from me. Like, it's really, I mean, Evander Kane's out there. You know, some of these guys are out there. What price are you going to pay for some of these guys? You know, it's just, it's prohibitive because you're giving up way too much of your future to make those deals. And, you know, the top teams, like, don't kid yourself. The Edmonton Oilers could use Evander Kane on the wing with McDavid. The Calgary Flames could really use him on the line. I know Ferland's been a great story, but don't kid yourself. They'd like to have a different guy on the wing with Goudreau and Monahan, and that's with all due respect to Ferland. And there's a number of teams, you know, that could use, you know, Ottawa still, even with the Duchesne trade, could use, you know, a big-time top six player. But what's the price? I mean, are you giving up Cody Ceci? Are you giving up some of these young guys to you know, you're going to talk to the Vancouver Canucks, and Tanev's a name that's going to come up all day long. I mean, I don't know, but if I'm the Vancouver Canucks, I'm trying to keep Tanev. I'm trying to re-sign him, keep him, because he's a good player. So, you know, most teams today are trying to keep their good players by signing them on long-term deals versus making deals.
Sportsnet 650.